Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I am Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studio. And with me today is John McTavish from the Stein Studio. How you doing, John?
Doing well. It's that weird time of the year where Formula One's about to kick off, baseball's kicked off, and NHL's wrapping up. So it's a season of transition.
Yeah, I'm episode three of Drivers. No, I finished episode four of Drive to Survive.
Nice.
So, yeah. Interesting.
A lot of drama, man. I mean, this is...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not actually watching the races during the year, but I'm like paying attention to what's happening.
Yeah.
So I already know the outcomes in some areas.
Yeah, of course.
But you're watching the thing and you're like, oh, this is just... I think episode one kind of threw me for a loop because I was like, I didn't understand what was going on with Lance Stroll. So, I still don't quite understand the timeline. So I don't remember when his accident was versus when the first race was to know what timeline was.
That's a bit of a problem because they always present the stuff out of order. Because it's based on drama. And so, yeah,
it sounded like he wrecked, broke his wrist, went into surgery, and then 2 days later was in the car. I'm like,
yeah, it wasn't quite like that, but and like I'm sure it hurt and all that, but like, you know, I've said this before, I'm like, it's hard for me, like, I realize they're human beings, but it's hard for me to be empathetic with a NFL player or a Formula One driver when it's like, John, would you play this game if we were paying you $7 million a year? It's like, I will literally play on a broken leg. Don't even need to cast that up. I'll play on a broken leg if my salary is $7 million. I wouldn't even flinch, and you wouldn't hear a peep out of me. So, you know, like, I realize he lives a little bit of a different lifestyle than I do. So, you know, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, he's only in that seat because his dad owns the company.
So, correct.
But, yeah. All right. So let's get into what we're actually here for. So today we are talking about the Macanudo Inspirado Tercio Age Toro. Cigar is actually a Toro Extra 6x54. Comes out of the General Cigar Dominicana factory in the Dominican Republic. Wrappers Mexican San Andres. Binders from Indonesia. Filler is from Colombia and the Dominican Republic. Price point is $10.49. Cigars released in April of 2023. So with all that out of the way, John, what was your overall experience like with this cigar?
Well, first of all, I'm quite shocked that this is a Mexican San Andres wrapper.
Fucking cigar is ugly.
yeah, it's not a good looking cigar, but the price point is reasonable. I say, because if you'd asked me what wrapper this was, I probably would have said some sort of Ecuador and Habano. I didn't really get any notes of Mexican San Andres in this at all. What it did get out of the first third, tobacco notes, mild floral, lavender, which I don't get on a lot of cigars. So that was kind of interesting. Earth and wood on the post draw, a little bit of creaminess. Is okay. Second third, that floral component kind of continued with some creaminess, baking spices to follow, all kind of at a light plus, you know, very manageable level. Wood as it continued, a little bit of tannins on the wood. Last third, creamy wood kind of leading off the profile, and then kind of a medium strength earth joined but pretty much at the halfway, which is a kind of a strength departure from the rest of the cigar. Burn was pretty perfect. Draw was pretty perfect. Or I should say the draw started out, is weird. The draw started out with a little bit of resistance, like into the resistance spectrum, and then it kind of opened up as soon as I got like maybe a quarter inch into the first third. So that was unusual, but overall, I didn't really find anything particularly noteworthy here. It was pleasant, but nothing stood out for me. So pretty average overall. What about you?
For me, the cigar started with dry oak that had a light smokiness to it. It had some earth and mild black pepper. Second third saw some chalkiness join in, and the final third saw the toast level increase a bit. Cigar had an average flavor profile throughout and was pretty linear and mundane from the second third on. Had some burn and draw issues. Burn was a little wavy through the first half, then two relights in the second half, and the draw was pretty snug for me. So it's not a good time, really. Kind of continues the trend of cigars from STG that just has like a aged tobacco, mm-hmm. kind of homogenized flavor delivery, not really a cigar I'd see myself coming back to. I don't know, man. The way that cigar looks, the kind of cheapness of the bands, it just, I understand you're trying to get to a price point, but it's, I don't know. I thought, to me, Macanudo's has like a different kind of a connotation to it. But I know that this, the Inspirado line, they've kind of taken it down a notch, but yeah, it's not for me. All right, let's get in the scores. Start with top with you, John, at 5.75. I give it a 5.15. So I have that 5.75 matchup for you.
Yeah, that is the average flavor profile with perfect construction. That's a get to 5.75. And yeah, that matches up well. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, average flavor profile throughout, but I did have construction issues. I don't know. It's just burn issues and draw issues combination. So, I mean, it wasn't great in the first half flavor wise. So I don't think the relights in the second half really did much to hurt it. So it didn't go down in at all, but not really that great. So not really something I'd come back to. Final thoughts from you on this one?
You know, I was a little puzzled at the purpose of this cigar because I feel like the Macanudo line is pretty full in the sense of like, you know, they have the Macanudo Inspirado White, which I feel like kind of carries the line. And to be honest, that's a really nice cigar. Like I recommend it to a lot of people. I'm like, if you want a light plus cigar that's got a lot of flavor, that's a great option. And the price point is quite reasonable. They've got the red, they've got the black, and it's like, it, you know, like, I don't know, given the price point of this, I don't quite understand where it fits in the portfolio. And maybe that's a conversation I can have with them at the PCA. But, you know, when I looked at this cigar and I finished the review, I'm like, there's just no way that I would gravitate towards this regardless of price over the Macanudo White, because the Macanudo Inspirado White is superior in every way to me. So, it's a puzzling release. It just doesn't feel like it fits.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like that, some of the cigars from STG are blended by accountants or inventory managers, because it's just like, we got this tobacco on the books, really old. We've had it here forever. We need to get rid of it. Let's just put let's take the three or four oldest tobaccos we got and put them together, see what we can make. And that's just kind of how it tastes. Like it feels like old tobacco, doesn't have a lot of life left to it. And they can't work together to produce something good. It just, I don't know.
What blows me away is like, it's not even like you're charging $15 for it, right? It's $10.49. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand its market position within the portfolio. You're competing with yourself on a product that to me tastes inferior to the entire lineup that's in Macanudo. So it's so bizarre, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Can't all be all bangers.
Right. Yeah. Wherever you catch this video, be sure to like and subscribe, but check out the full written review on the website, developmentpalace.com. Follow us on all the social media channels, and you can catch all of our review recaps on podcasts, so iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Tercio 8.